one, 3-1. Teach us, O Lord. Teach us, feed us, Lord, each according to our desire, our seeking, our searching. Fill us, Lord, to that point that we can handle this moment. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Here in Colossians 3:1 it says, If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things in this world, earth. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Now here, God is speaking. He says, now come on, put all your affections, your thoughts, your mind, your everything upon things that are above, things that are eternal, not on things that are of this earth or temporal, because you're really dead. To everything in this earth, we're dead. We have no stake in this world except as an expression of the heart of Christ. Amen? And our life that we did have is hid in Christ now. The life that we did have, it was a hurtful life, a confused life, a sinful life, a life of failure. Christ has taken that in, and he has taken that on himself. He's hid that from us. No longer do we have to be controlled by the life of failure, the life of distraction, the life of selfishness. Amen? But now, it says, Christ is our life. He is our life. He is our everything. He is our breath. He is our heartbeat. He is our thought. He is our value system. He is our priority. He is the everything. He is my every thought. He should be. Amen? Galatians 2:20 is another verse that goes along with this thought. And it says, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. The me of the past is being crucified with Christ. Crucified to what? Well, another scripture tells us crucified to the world, crucified to everything. But I'm still alive, but it's not really me, it's just my body. Christ liveth in me. It's not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. His faith within me. Amen? You've heard me preach on this before. I'm going to preach on it again. We're ready to have a rerun. It's not, I'm not going off old notes, though. I never go off old notes. It's only a rerun, you know, as far as we've talked about this subject before. But everything we're talking about is a rerun. There's no new knowledge. Everything's a rerun. Amen? As long as we don't get the book out and rerun man's perception of a rerun. Now, that's terrible when you get a rerun of a rerun. It's only a rerun because all knowledge is old. It's always existed. Amen? We don't get sermons from books or old notes. They got to be cooked right off the stove. Amen? So let's see what we got. Okay? Here we're talking about life. We're talking about religion. We're talking about spiritual lessons. You might entitle this sermon, Man's Religion Versus God's Religion. To many in this world, religion is not life. Religion is a system of worship, a moral code of doctrinal perceptions. To us, that's what it has been. When I talk this way, I want you to understand something. I do not set myself up superior to anyone else in this world. When I say to others this and to others that, and I'm just using that as a way to express myself. Mike Akins is not superior to anyone on the face of the earth, and you're not. We're not superior to any other person. or any other religion. There is no other religion. There's only one religion. And there's a lot of misconceptions within all of us. Amen? So I want to make that clear, but let's go on. Man's religion is driven by organization, an attempt to organize God, an attempt to organize thought, to organize how we're going to serve God, to organize how we're going to worship God, to organize and try to attempt to have some type of perception that we can feel secure with. Every perception we have is nothing more than expression of ignorance contained within our limitations. Every thought that Mike Aiken thinks is a contained ignorance. He didn't have to say that so loud. When I say I'm ignorant, he says amen. You know, well, could you just whisper those amens, you know, when I'm putting myself down here? Okay. But let's think about it. Every thought we have is nothing more than a contained ignorance by our limitations. Contained by our limitations. I have no thought that's an intelligent thought because I have no thought that's a perfect thought. I have no perception that's a perfect perception. Now, that doesn't mean I go around not knowing where I'm going, what I'm doing. What do you believe? No, it's not I've got a definite perception of what I believe. I have a different perception of God. I have a definite perception of salvation. I have a definite perception of life. Don't get me wrong. I'm very solid where I stand. Have been for 17 years. But I also recognize that I am very ignorant. And every thought I have is just my best stab at truth. And that kind of a realization keeps me more flexible when God wants to move me around a little bit. Amen? And man's religion is his best stab at truth and life, but it's a very poor perception. It's a very poor effort. Amen? In James 1 and 26, God speaks of true religion. It's so different than what I've grown up with. It's so different than the cards I have to sign when I've got into churches. Can I join your church? How many has ever joined a church before? How many has ever joined the church before? That means you're saved. How many's not saved? How many are asleep? Okay. We have an altar call right here, real quick here. It's okay to vote. It's okay to participate. Did you know that? It's okay to enter in and just be one of mine, one accord, and respond, keep me awake. But you go in and say, hey, I'd like to join the church. Okay, sign this card. Here's this book of what we believe. Now, we still, they'd hand me the Bible, but they'd hand me this book. Do you do this and that and the other? Will you promise never to do this and that and the other? If so, sign here. I'd like to say, do you have a ring I can kiss or anything in the process of this? Or can I get, you know what I mean? That's so different than what God talks about religion. Brother, I believe in once saved, always saved. Well, brother, I believe that you can lose your salvation every moment. Well, I believe that heaven's a certain way. Well, I believe hell's a certain way. Well, I believe this and I believe that. I believe if you're baptized with sprinkling, you go burn in hell. There's not enough water to keep you cool all day. if you get baptized and submerged, make sure you don't leave them down too long. I mean, you got to leave them down. I mean, yeah, I'm joking around, but you know what I mean? Boy, I tell you what, I can speak in more tongues than you can. Well, but I can speak in 49 different heavenly tongues. Well, I can speak in 142 heavenly tongues. You know what I mean? Well, I believe faith this, and I believe faith that, and we go on and on with all these doctrines, and we associate ourselves with people who have the same ignorance as we do. Religion is association by ignorance. Hey, Neil, make sure you get that on the air when you get this ready for the air, okay? Maybe they'll take us off. But it's true. Religion, denominations, are nothing more than an association of people with like ignorances. And I've been putting us in the same boat. because we're all ignorant. Every preacher that ever spoke over a pulpit was ignorant. Every book that's ever been written is a book of ignorance. Now, I'm not saying don't try, but let's be truthful about it. Amen? Because God is all so smart. Do you understand what I'm saying? I'm not trying to put anybody down. We're already there. All I'm saying is God is smart. Everything else less than God is not. And God has a perfect idea, and every idea other than God's is not. If I quote scripture, I've given you a perfect idea. Amen? If I say any more than that, then I've given you ignorance. And sometimes I share my ignorance with you, because sometimes it happens to be right, but I don't know if it is not. But here's what it says about religion. If any man among you seemeth to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is empty, it's in vain. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction. Katie, how many visits did you get this last month? Did you get some? Oh, yeah, good. Praise God. Now, it wasn't from the bill collectors, but it was from church people. Okay. Wasn't KP&L cut. What? Oh, okay. That counts. We have a modern way to visit nowadays. Viva telephone. And Sister Wilson, did you have any religious situations, visits? Good. You got the head. How about you, Sister Ruby? Oh, good. Okay, now we're getting somewhere. We're getting some religion going on in this place. Caring and loving and living, we're talking about religion. Now, God doesn't list everything that's included in religion here, but he mentions, he gives an example. How many of your tongues have been not religious this last week? Unreligious, religiousized or something. Make up a word here. How many of our tongues have been a part of our religion this last week? Did you know it's okay to make your tongue a part of your religion? It's okay. It's okay to include your tongue in your religion. Sometimes we forget that. What we say should be religious. It should express love, understanding, amen, caring. We in this body need to keep it, our minds ever so renewed on this fact, because we can do the same thing that's been done so many times. We can become religious according to man's perception and not according to God's reality or essence. Amen? We've got to realize that religion is nothing more than a channel to express the life of Christ. That's why it calls us a body, his body. Religion is a channel to express God's love, his life. In his love is sometimes judgment. So I don't want us to confuse ourselves here. Doesn't mean it's always positive, but it's always right. And it's always based in love. Amen. There is nothing separate from religion. There is nothing separated from church. There is nothing separated from your spiritual life or essence. Religion and spirituality is not an ingredient to include in your life to make your marriage better, to make your family life better, to make your emotions more balanced, to make you a better employee, or to carry on a better business. Religion is not an ingredient. It's added 3 times a week, or when you pray, or when you think about God or read your Bible. Religion is life. There's nothing outside of it. There's no moment that it does not exist in your life. You are religious when you sleep. You are a spiritual being even when you sleep. You're always a spiritual being with a spiritual essence. We always should be religious, amen, in the true sense of the word. We need to realize that we express ourselves, or Christ, I should say, our religion, our spiritual essence, to things and people around us. and situations, but really, our religion transcends everything around us. Now, let me explain that. We need to realize that my religion, my spiritual essence, my spiritual life may be expressed to Brother Cheney here, may be expressed to my dear sister Virginia, or my daughter Angela, or whoever it may be. My son sitting back there that's keeping awake, and I appreciate that. But they are not my religion. They are not my spiritual life. They are not my spiritual essence. They are not really a part of that. I express it to them. So many times we make our kids, our family, our life. We make our job our life. We make our ideas our life. We make making money our life. We make our church our life, our physical church, our physical relationships. Religion transcends all of this. It lasts longer than everything in this room. Religion will last longer than my religion, my spiritual essence, will last longer than this building will be standing. It'll last longer than you'll be alive, or I'll be alive. It'll outlast my mother and my father and my kids and my dreams. It'll outlast anything. Now, why am I saying this? Because we get distracted in expressing God's essence, God's life. We get distracted in our religion, and we make the objects that we should be expressing religion to, expressing God's love to, we make that a part of our religion, a part of our spiritual existence. And when we do, then we compete with God. We compete with life. We have several different aspects of life competing within itself. We compete. We have different religions competing within our own life. You've got to rise above things in your life and people in your life and situations in your life in order to purely express God's life. There's a selfish tendency within us to be distracted and become and to become attached to the things of this life. Amen? And we bring religion down to the level of our relationships with people. And we put it on the same parallel. And we sometimes make our families even above our religion. If Angela and Michael have a need, and Sister Lisa and Sister Wilson, Sister Katie has a need, and it's a life and death need, and I immediately choose my children above them because they're mine, then I'm not a religious person in the true sense of the word. I'm not a spiritual person. I'm not guided by God. I'm not expressing His life. Sorry about that, kids. Because you see, I must ask God which one of His children does He want me to bless that day. Who am I going to feed today? I don't know. If God don't tell me otherwise, I'll probably feed my own family. Because in His word, He tells me to. Now, He doesn't tell me I got to feed them every meal, but He tells, take care of them. But God may tell me to feed the next door neighbor's family and let us fast today. Now, I've had many requests by various kids in our school. The things are tough right now. And it says, can the church help us out on some shoes? Okay. And I've also had my own kids say, Dad, it's been a couple years, is it time for some shoes, When I was running the other day, I thought there was someone following me because I heard footsteps. It was just my tennis shoes, the soles of my tennis shoes flopping every time I hit. I can put my whole hand between my sole of my tennis shoes and the nylon part of the tennis shoe. It's kind of distracting when you're running, Now, who am I going to buy shoes for? Who am I going to say, okay, is it going to be Andrea Jackson? Is it going to be LaDonna? Or TJ? Yeah, TJ's in. Yeah, me, man. Me, it's my turn. Okay. He's up there rooting me on. Is it going to be Angela? Is it going to be Mr. Akins? I don't know. Whatever God says. Who am I going to will all of my bills to? Is it going to be Angela? Michael, you ready voting? Maybe I'll will them to Patty here. I don't know. Whoever God wants to have the headache. You see, in this life, we as human beings, we get locked into the level of this life, and our religion is only an ingredient. We don't breathe, sleep, and smell religion. And we cannot be used to the extent that God wants us to. Now, someone might say, I'm fanatical. How many would agree I'm fanatical? You're right. But Jesus was fanatical because he gave us a parable. I guess it was a parable. But, you know, just because it's a parable doesn't mean that it's not absolutely true. Amen? How many believe God told the truth in his parables? Amen. And he says in Luke 9:59, one of the people that was going to follow Jesus came to him and he said, are you going to follow me? He said, yeah, I'll follow you wherever you want me to. He said, okay, let's go. He says, wait a minute, my dad died. And, I'm paraphrasing this. He said, my dad died. My father is dead. We're having a funeral today. All the kids are going to be there, the mom. And they didn't say all of this, but, you know, it said the father died. But, you know, we've got to fill in. We know something happened there. They're having a funeral. Dad, who I love so much, died. I want to repay my respects. And mom would sure like me to be there. And sisters and brother. And Jesus says, you don't have time. Come on, let's go. We've got to catch a plane. We're going to L.A. and we're going to have a street ministry going on. Amen? And this guy said, wait a minute, Jesus. I need to go back to this. No. If you go back, you're not worthy. Amen. You're not fit for the kingdom of heaven. You take all four gospels when they give this expression and get the whole picture. He says, you're not even fit for the kingdom of heaven. Won't you put your hand to the plow if you look back? What's the plow? Who knows? It's whatever it may be at that time. Now, I hope that never happens. You know, that'd be tough. I'd hate to have to be the preacher that says, don't even go to your dad's funeral. Man, Jesus had nerve. You got to remember that they thought of him as a pastor, a prophet, or just a good man in those days. He'd have the nerve to say, hey, Larry, you're not even fit to be a part of this ministry if you go back to your dad's funeral. Wouldn't it be tough? They'd probably call you something else. Amen? Then, I tell you what's even worse than that, or better than that, I should say. Get on the right side of this thing. In verse 61, this one young, fantastic preacher man, I don't know who it might be in this church, it might be Tim Whitmore, it might be Jerry Patton, Larry says, I'm voting here. He says, I said, okay, guys, listen, we are, we're having a church meeting here Sunday. We've got to take off now. God told me this morning we're going to take off and run up here to Atlanta. We're up to New York City, and we've got an important ministry we've got to do today. And Larry says, okay, what time's the plane leave? I said, in a little bit. He said, I'm going to run home and let Misty know I'm leaving, you know. And I said, hey, you don't have time to even bid them farewell. Let's go. Now, the reason why I'm pointing this out, I want you to show how fanatical God's religion is. Amen? He says, don't even bid him farewell. Now, don't you take this thing and get fleshy with it. Some of you men will go out and stay all night and Bible studies and things. Well, God wants me to neglect my family. God doesn't want you to neglect your family. If you're going to not tell your wife bye and you're going to head off to L.A., I would suggest you make sure God's telling you that. Because God doesn't go around doing that very often. Amen? But the point of what I'm making, the point of what God made here is what's important. God was teaching us a principle of value, a priority. Amen? And it's a very fanatical perception compared to man's limited thinking. And we need to have that type of aggressive attitude to approach this, our religion, our spiritual life, this church, what we're doing. Now, we don't want to make a God out of being fanatical. You understand what I'm saying? Some people make it a god to be fanatical, to be different. No, let's don't do that now. Let's don't make our beliefs a god. Amen? Let's don't take some wild thought that could be very real and very true at one moment and make it a god and go around just to be different all the time. Right? Sometimes people do that. But let us be totally committed and stand on the principles that the Word of God gives us. So God can use us to the fullest amount that He can right now. When God spoke to Sister Kay over here and me and I, or whatever it is, and said, start a school, that was a very fanatical idea. I didn't know if you could do such a thing. She did. She knew a little more about it than I did because she's a little more educated. You know, she had a 7th grade education. I had a 6th. And so we said, well, how do you start a school? We was talking. How do we start a school? You know? So we said, well, I don't know. Let's drive to the peak and ask them. So we drove up there and went in there and asked the head man. We wanted the head honcho, whatever that is. Who are the head man? So we go up there and say, now, what can I do for you? What was his name? Bolden or? I forget. But he said, what do I do for you? We'd like to start school. He said, we've been watching Beverly Hillbillies too much, you know. It was a fanatical idea. And we thought it was going to be cheap. Hey, that sounds easy, man. Let's just put, get some bunch of mothers out here and have a school. And we got in the school. We got a church building. It was neat. Not bought it, but we rented a church building. We took every dime we had just to get the first month's rent. And we thought that was just going to be so simple until the feds came in. You know, and they say, well, we got codes you got to go by. Well, I mean, this has been a church for ages. Yeah, but it's not. This is school now. So, I don't know how much, $10,000, $15,000, $20,000. You know, and man, I tell you what, it's been quite an adventure since then. It's a pretty fanatical idea. Not very many people have it. There's been a few churches that have looked into it here in town. There's a few that do have their own Christian schools, but there's been others that looked into it. And one major church here in town said, we just can't afford it. I don't know if you remember that. You remember that? Who that was? I can't remember. I won't say over there anyway. One major church, we just can't afford it. We don't have the personnel. They have 3 times more members than we do. They have a lot more money than we do. We can't afford it. We don't have the personnel. It's a, you know, we're crazy. You know? And that's what we need to be. In this world's estimation, we need to be crazy. Jesus, they said, was beside himself. Amen. But see, it says in Luke 14:26 that if you don't even hate your mother, father, sister, brother, you're not even worthy of him. And it's not talking about literal hating someone, but it's talking about the comparison of the commitment and love to God that you do your own family. Luke 14:26. My goodness. It's awesome. Some people choose their church to go to by who they're married with. I'd hate to have my wife or husband choose the church I'm going to go to. And, you know, I would think it would be important which church I went to. And it may not be this one, but I think God has something to say about that, wouldn't you? Honey, turn off the light. It's bothering me. Well, sweetheart, I'm reading the Bible. Well, I got to get up early in the morning. Okay, light goes off. Now, maybe God wanted you to turn that light off, but did you think about asking him? You know what I mean? Maybe you should be reading the Bible. Maybe you should go in the other room and read it. But you see, the point of it is, so many times our religion is contained and limited by our value system in this life. Even religion itself becomes a god sometimes and a distraction. The Pharisees were experts at making religion a god, making their small, ignorant perceptions of religion a god. God did not want mankind to work on the Sabbath, which was on a Saturday, because he was teaching them a typology about Jesus Christ, a resting in Christ. So they took this small expression, their perception of this expression, and so God himself was walking the earth with his disciples, and they were picking corn, or whatever it might have been. And they say, you broke the law that you gave. You know, it's paraphrased again. You broke the law that you gave. That's terrible. You know, a law that was given to express God's love, they try to contain it with their ignorance. Amen. And they try to convict the Creator of breaking His own law. Their perception of His law. Our perception of God's law is so limited. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not talking about going around not having a belief or something. I believe every single word that's in here. I will not compromise it. Amen? But I have to realize my perception of life in God's law is so limited. The Bible says, thou shalt not love. not love. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not do all these things. And then I have the limited perception of, wow, I'm okay. I didn't steal today. How many stole today? How many killed anybody today? Okay, we're doing pretty good. How many cursed? Did not curse? Let's just forget about that, you know. You know, we could all say we kept the Ten Commandments today. How many kept the Ten Commandments today? How many felt pretty good about that? But I want you to know something. That is just a very small part of God's expression of love. How many went by to see if someone needed a ride today? How many called someone today to see if they felt okay? How many prayed for somebody this morning when you woke up? Amen? How many, you know, now let's get into a broader perspective. Amen? I didn't make you mad, did I, Larry? Oh, okay. Okay. But you see what I mean? We need to stop playing games. Express God every moment of our life. Amen? We must keep God as the focus of our mind, all of our affections upon the things of above, and get your mind off your goals of this life. You've got to have goals, sure. You've got to have a place to work, sure. You're going to go to school somewhere, yes. You're going to live somewhere, yes. I want you to know something. I own nothing in this life. Even if a deed said I did, which it doesn't, I still own nothing. Uncle Sam could take it anytime he wants to. Inflation can eat it up. I don't own nothing. I don't want roots anywhere. Do you? We need to stop growing roots in this life. Amen? We grow roots to people, to ideas, to things that we possess, churches, associations. We grow roots. I have no roots in this life. I don't want to stay here forever. And this guy wants me to. You know, I know there's going to be a new earth, earth dwellers, but I'd like to be in the New Jerusalem. How about you, Michael? I don't want any roots. I don't want even roots to people. Honey, I'm sorry. I don't want to grow roots to you. Michael, I don't want any roots involved in our relationship. You know what I mean? I don't want any roots with any of you. Sorry, Brother Stover. Because you see, roots have a tendency to hold you down. And if I go up and you go down, I don't want to go. I don't want to stay. I don't want anything to hold me back. Now, I'm going to love you with God's love. I'm going to care about you. I'm going to minister to you. I hope you do to me. We're going to enjoy some good fellowship down on this earth. We're going to worship and shout together, amen? But I want no roots between us. If God says go, I'm not going to say, oh, my goodness, I don't want to leave these people. I'm going to say, praise God, I get to leave. Amen. Not because I don't like you, but because God knows what's going on. Shouldn't I praise God? What I've always got a little bit concerned about is when we had preachers leave. Now, I don't agree with that system of circulating preachers, shuffling cards. You know, well, you preached all your sermons now. You got to go somewhere else and preach them over again. One preacher told me that it takes him about 5 years to preach all his sermons. You know, he's been preaching the same ones for 5 years. He's got it all planned out. And he says, it's about time to move on again so I can, you know. But the point of it is this. They had these farewell parties, and people just act like the worst thing never happened. They get up and cry, and I'm sorry to tell you, God's moving me on. Why am I crying about God moving me on? If that's what God knows is best, I should get up and say, guess what, congregation? You say, what? I got good news for you. What? God told me something today. What? Tell us. He wants me to get out of here. You see what I mean? That's how we should feel about things. Amen? We got things backwards. Christ is everlasting, is non-changing. Religion should be everlasting and non-changing if it's true religion. It doesn't change with my evolution of my ignorance. Amen? Religion should not change with my ignorance growing. You know, I redirecting itself. Hey, guess what, church? I just had a revelation. I just understand a doctrine better. So we're going to change our religious foundation here, our principles of religion. We're going to change our religion. I just had a revelation. Well, I had the wrong religion because it didn't change because I, you know, have got a little light in my life. Amen? My comprehension may change, but I want you to know my comprehension of God does not contain God, does not restrict God, does not limit God. God is beyond my comprehension. God is beyond anything I can imagine. I just have a little bit of understanding of God. And religion goes far beyond my mind's ability to contain it. I know a little bit about it, and I'm going to follow what I know to the day I die. To shed that last tear or drop of blood, I will stand by what little I know about religion. I'm not going to add to it or subtract from it, but I'm going to always keep humbled by my ignorance and motivated by what little light God gives me to express to this world. Amen? So let's don't grow roots. Let's don't. How's that old saying about a rolling stone gathers no moss? Is that right? Let's don't get no moss underneath the feet. Okay? Let's keep moving. Let's keep going. You don't have to have your wife by your side everything you do. Wife, you don't have to have your husband beside you everything you do. It's nice to do things together, but that's not the most important thing. Peter went evangelizing. Guess what? He doesn't mention his wife being with him. Well, but I think family's been created to stick together. Well, good. If she goes to hell, you going to go with her? You know what I mean? Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying neglect anybody. Man, you minister and you love, because there's too many preachers that neglect their family. They say, well, in the name of God, I neglect my family. No, wait a minute. You love like no one can ever love. You give like no one's ever given. But when God says do something, you do it without any question, without any competition. Amen? Any questions this morning on this sermon? Or anyone want to add anything to what I've said? Blessings in your teaching and your chastisement will follow us now as we go. And I pray, Lord, that we will be a ministry to all those who come in contact with us. We pray that we'll be able to express your love. In Jesus' name, amen.